Okay, so welcome to the deep dive. And today we are taking a look at something pretty cool that you put in front of us, which is a whole decade's worth of official audit reports for the McLeod Public Schools,
All right.
District Number I-1
Sounds good.
in Oklahoma. And these cover 2014 to 2024. So 10 years.
A whole decade.
A decade. Yeah, so we're going to try to give you like an express route through what all this means so that you don't have to dig into these documents yourself.
Yeah, you've given us essentially the financial DNA of the school district
Wow.
for the last decade.
Yeah.
And our mission now
Okay.
is to kind of decode it to see what were the big changes in the finances.
Okay.
Where did the money consistently come from and where did it go?
Yeah.
And then what are those really surprising details?
Right.
There's like aha moments that will really help us
Yeah.
illuminate the financial journey of the district
Yeah.
over this time.
Yeah. And just to make sure we're all on the same page about where we're going to be going, the main source material we have is a collection of these estimate of needs reports from the Oklahoma State Auditor and Inspector. And we have these reports for every fiscal year ending June 30th from 2014 all the way up to 2024. And these reports really break down the finances into a bunch of different areas. But the big ones we're going to focus on are the general fund, which is kind of the big one for how the school district operates day to day. And then we've got the building fund, child nutrition fund, and the sinking fund. So why don't we jump right in and let's start with the general fund?
The general fund is where the core activities of the school district really take place. And, looking across those 10 fiscal years from 2014 to 2024, we see a few really key revenue streams that just keep popping up. So first up, you got local taxes. And the biggest chunk of that is the ad valorem tax. So that's your property tax that people are paying. And that's often the single biggest source of income.
You know what's amazing is you can actually see that in the reports. So like for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015, you can see that the McLeod General Fund, they anticipated getting over $3.2 million just from those local property taxes. And they actually ended up getting even more, around like 3.3 million. And then you see that kind of pattern throughout the other years. Even though the amounts kind of fluctuate a little bit, you can see how much they're relying on the community.
It really shows you how tied to the local community the school district is. Because, if property values go down or there's some big change in who's paying those taxes, that could really hit their budget hard. And it almost doesn't matter what happens with the state or federal funding.
Like they're really,
They're really at the whim of that local economy.
that makes a lot of sense. So alongside those local taxes, you've also got another big player, which is the state aid.
State aid, exactly.
So this is money coming from the Oklahoma state government to support education across all the districts.
And looking at that same fiscal year, 2015, McLeod anticipated receiving over $6.2 million in state aid for their general fund, and actually ended up receiving a little over 6.5 million. So it's really important to remember, though, that state funding isn't always a sure thing. It can go up, it can go down, based on the state's budget situation and decisions by those lawmakers. So as we look over these 10 years, we really got to pay attention to any big jumps or dips in that state aid.
Makes sense. All right, so then we've got
Then I got special
behavioral aid, which is usually in the form of grants for particular programs or things like that. And this one seems like it could be a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, it can be because it depends what federal programs are even available and then whether the school district actually qualifies for them.
And just as an example, in the 2015 general fund, the feds were only supposed to contribute around $742,000, but they actually ended up giving a little bit more, like a little over a million.
Interesting.
So it seems like if we see any year with a big jump in federal grants, that probably means they got some new program.
It could mean that there's a new focus. Maybe it's special education or technology or
Or,
something like
and
that.
on the flip side, if that money goes down,
Maybe a federal program ended.
Maybe the federal government's priorities changed or the program just ran its course.
So we've got local taxes, state aid, federal aid, and then there's one more category that's kind of a catch-all.
Okay.
And it's called other local sources.
All right.
And this can be things like tuition and fees or money they make from investments.
Okay.
And even money they make from renting out their facilities.
All right. So like if they rent out the gym or something for an event.
Exactly. And these tend to be smaller amounts.
Yeah, those usually don't bring in as much as the taxes or the state aid.
Right, but it's...
But they can still add up.
Yeah, it's still money.
Yeah.
And I see in 2015, they got around $131,000 from these other sources.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, looking at these other categories.
Yeah.
It's kind of where you sometimes see weird amounts of money coming in or things that change a lot.
Because it reflects what's happening specifically within that school district.
Yeah. So we've got all these different ways to get money.
Yeah.
But as we zoom out and look at this whole decade, were there any particular revenue categories that really jumped out at you?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that local taxes and state aid, those really formed the base of the general fund income.
Right.
They were pretty consistent.
Right.
But the federal aid, that was a little more dynamic.
Yeah.
Like there might be a year where a huge federal grant comes in for student support or something.
Right.
And you see this big increase in revenue.
Yeah.
And then maybe in the next few years, it goes down.
Right.
As the grant ends.
Right. Or the priorities change at the federal level.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So keeping track of those changes can show us how the district adapted to different opportunities and changes from the government.
That makes sense. So that's how they get the money.
Right.
But then what about spending it?
Yeah. So where's the money going?
Yeah. What are we seeing there?
Well, the biggest and most consistent expense is instruction.
Okay.
And this includes everything that's directly related to teaching and learning.
Yeah.
You know, salaries for the teachers and staff, benefits, textbooks, classroom supplies, curriculum materials.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the core of what a school does.
Yeah. That makes sense. And looking at the reports for 2017,
they
had an original budget of almost $8 million just for instruction.
Wow.
So that's definitely the biggest chunk of their spending.
It's a big chunk, yeah.
Yeah.
And then coming in after instruction, you got support services.
Okay.
This is a big category.
Right.
It covers all the things that help instruction happen.
Okay.
So it's support for the students themselves, like counseling and health services.
Okay.
Support for the staff, like librarians, professional development, you get general administration, of the district administration at the school level, the principals and assistant principals, keeping the buildings running, transportation, central services.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and looking at that 2017 report again,
they
had budgeted over $4.3 million for all those different things and support services.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's actually more than half of what they budgeted for instruction.
Yeah, it just goes to show how complex it is.
Yeah.
To run a school system.
Right. Okay. So we got instruction support services. And then we have something called non-instruction services.
Non-instruction services.
And these are things that are not directly educational.
Yeah. So it's stuff like food service.
Okay.
Any other businesses the district might run.
Like
any after school care.
Okay.
Or community services.
Okay.
And those services are often meant to kind of pay for themselves.
Right. Okay. And then finally, we see categories for building and construction projects.
Yeah, facilities acquisition and construction. Yeah. So that's when they build new classrooms or renovate old ones.
Right.
And then there's a category called other outlays.
Okay.
And that's for things like paying off debt.
Right.
Or transferring money between different district funds.
Okay. So as we look at this whole 10 years of spending, did you see any big changes in the district's priorities?
Well, there are definitely some things to watch out for.
Okay.
Like if we see any years where they suddenly spent a lot more on support services, that could mean they decided to invest more in things like student well-being or special education or even restructuring the administration.
All right. And then what about if we see a big jump in money for facilities?
Yeah. If we see a jump in the money for facilities within the general fund, that might mean they had some smaller projects.
Okay.
Or maybe some emergency repairs.
Okay.
That they had to take care of.
Right.
That weren't covered by the building fund.
Okay. So to be really specific, if we see like a consistent upward trend in that line item, 2100 support services students, that's a pretty good indication.
It is, yeah.
That they're putting more money into things like counseling and guidance.
Exactly. Things like that.
Yeah. That's a really good way to see their priorities.
It is.
Yeah.
And what about the district's overall finances?
Yeah.
Just looking at the general fund, Are they in a good spot?
Right. How can we even figure that out?
Well, the cash fund balance is a really good indicator.
Okay.
We got to look at both the beginning and the ending balance in the general fund for every fiscal year.
Okay.
If there's always a healthy balance at the end of the year with some money in reserve, that usually means they're managing their money well.
Okay.
But if they have big deficits or very little money left over at the end of the year, that might mean they're having trouble dealing with unexpected costs or dealing with any funding cuts.
Okay, so looking at that 2015 report, the general fund started with a cash balance of over $1.2 million, and they ended with over $1.3 million.
Okay.
So a little bit of an increase there.
Yeah.
But we got to see how that plays out over the year.
Exactly. Oh. We want to know, does it consistently grow? Yeah. Does it go up and down?
Yeah.
Does it decline at certain times?
Yeah.
That'll give us a better sense of their stability.
Okay. So we've got a good picture of the general fund.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the building fund.
Okay. So the building fund,
yeah,
this one's much more focused on the long term.
Okay. So look at this over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
What are the big things you'd be looking for?
Well, the main way they get money for the building fund is through local taxes.
Okay.
Specifically, the ad valorem tax again.
Yeah.
But it's a designated part of it that's legally restricted for building and capital improvement projects.
But they can't spend this on salaries.
Exactly. They can't use it for just anything. And they usually have a specific millage rate.
Okay.
Which is just a certain amount per $1,000 of property value that goes straight into this fund.
Okay, and looking at the 2017 report on that Certificate of Excise Board, I see they had a building fund levy of 5.00 mils.
Okay.
So for every $1,000 of assessed property value in the district, $5 went straight into the building fund.
Yeah, so basically for every $1,000 of a house's value in that district, they would get $5 to use.
For those big building projects.
Exactly. Yeah. For things like building new schools.
Yeah.
Or renovating the old ones.
Yeah. And so that's how they get the money.
Yep.
So what are they spending it on?
Well, almost all of it goes to facilities acquisition and construction services.
Okay.
So this is where they allocate the money for building new schools or adding on to old ones.
Right.
Doing major renovations and making big repairs to keep their buildings in good shape.
So if we see a year with a huge amount of spending in this category, that probably means they did a big project that year.
Right. Like they built a new wing of the school.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm seeing in the 2015 report, total disbursements of over $789,000.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that was for some big projects.
Yeah, that probably reflects some pretty significant construction or acquisition activities.
So just like with the general fund, we got to track those cash balances.
Exactly. We need to see how much money is in the building fund and how that changes over time.
So if the balance goes up a lot.
Yeah, it goes up a lot. That could mean they're saving up for a really big project in the future.
Oh, God.
But if it drops a lot,
yeah,
that probably means they just finished a big construction project.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got a good handle on the building fund.
Yeah.
Now let's look at one that's really important.
Right. The child nutrition fund.
Or the child nutrition fund. Yeah. This one's all about the food.
Yeah.
It's all about making sure the kids get breakfast and lunch.
Exactly. And how do they get the money for this one?
Well, the main sources are usually state aid and federal aid.
Okay.
That are specifically for child nutrition programs.
So they're not just dipping into the general fund?
No, they're not supposed to.
Okay.
This money's earmarked just for food.
Okay.
And then sometimes they'll get a little bit of local revenue.
Okay.
Maybe from students or staff paying for meals.
All right. So looking at the 2018 report, it looks like they were estimating about $300,748 from the state.
All right.
Just for child nutrition.
Okay.
But a lot more from the feds, like $602,433.
Wow. It's a big difference.
It is. And it really shows you how much those programs rely on the government.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that the balance between the state and federal money can change a lot depending on what lawmakers decide and what programs are being offered. So, for example, if the feds increase funding for free and reduced price lunches, then we might see a lot more federal money going into that fund.
Yep. And, of course, most of the money from this fund goes towards actually running the food service.
Okay.
You know, buying the food, the supplies, paying the staff.
Makes sense. So when we look at how much they spent we can really get a sense of how big the program is.
Exactly. We can see how many kids are participating, what kind of meals they're offering, and how much the foods and supplies are costing.
And you know, one thing that will be interesting to watch for is that line item usually called 3100 Child Nutrition Programs Operations.
Right.
Because if that number changes a lot, that'll tell us something's going on.
Exactly. And we got to keep an eye on those cash balances.
Right.
Just like with the other funds.
Yeah.
Are they consistently running a surplus?
Yeah.
Which would mean they're managing the program well. Or are they running a deficit?
Yeah.
Which might mean they're struggling to provide those meals.
Okay. So now let's move on to the sinking fund.
All right, the sinking fund, this one's all about the long-term financial health of the district.
So for anyone who's not familiar with this term, can you explain what the sinking fund is for?
Absolutely. So the sinking fund is basically a special savings account that the school district uses to pay off its long-term debt.
Okay.
Usually this debt comes from issuing bonds, which are like loans that they use to finance big projects, like building a new school.
Got it.
Or doing major renovations.
So they're setting aside money each year.
Exactly.
To pay off these loans.
Yep. So they don't have this huge burden all at once.
Makes sense. Mm. So where does the money for this special account come from?
Well, the main source is usually another dedicated local tax levy.
Okay.
Against the ad valorem tax.
Yeah.
But this time it's a specific rate.
Okay.
That the voters have approved.
Right.
For paying off this debt.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll see a little bit of money coming in from investments the sinking fund holds.
Okay.
But the tax levy is really the main source.
Okay. So in the 2015 report, I see a big chunk of money coming from ad valorem taxes, totaling over $371,000.
Yeah.
And that's from 2013 and prior.
Okay.
So basically, local taxpayers are directly contributing to paying off this debt.
It's their way of investing in the long-term stability of the schools.
Makes sense. So once the money's in there, what are they using it for?
Well, most of it goes towards those scheduled payments.
Okay.
For the principal and interest on those outstanding bonds.
Okay. So in years when they make big payments, we'll see more money going out.
Exactly. So in that 2015 report, we see a disbursement of $350,000.
Okay.
That's specifically listed as bonds paid.
So by looking at all this, can we get a sense of the district's overall debt?
Well, to really understand their debt situation, we need to look at those detailed schedules that are sometimes included in the reports.
Okay.
Those show us exactly how much debt they have left.
Okay.
But even without that, we can still see the trends by looking at the money coming in from that tax levy and the payments they're making.
So if they're consistently making big payments.
Yeah, if the fund balance is going down because of those payments, that's a good sign.
Okay.
That means they're working to reduce their debt.
Okay, so we've gone through all these funds.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
General fund, building fund, child nutrition sinking fund.
It's a lot to digest.
It is.
But now let's step back and see what we've learned.
Okay, so what are the big takeaways?
Yeah.
From looking at all of this over 10 years.
Yeah. What really stands out?
Well, you know, one thing that's really interesting is how school districts have to balance their funding.
You know, they get money from local property taxes.
Right.
But they also rely on the state and federal governments.
Yeah. So it would be really interesting to see
if
that balance has shifted at all.
Yeah. Has McLeod become more or less reliant on the state
or
the feds compared to their own local taxes?
Exactly. And were there any years where the total money coming in was way more or way less than what they spent?
Yeah. Were there any years where they really had a surplus or a deficit?
Right. Because those could be big moments.
Oh, yeah. Those are the years that really tell a story.
Right. And those surpluses could mean a couple things.
They could. Yeah.
Maybe they got a big unexpected boost in funding.
Right. Maybe they got a huge grant.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were just really good at saving money.
Right. But then those deficits could mean some tough times.
It could. Yeah.
Maybe the economy wasn't doing well.
Right. Maybe property values went down.
Yeah.
And they collected less in taxes. Or maybe their costs went up.
Yeah. Or maybe the state or federal government cut their funding.
Right.
We got to look for those kinds of things.
Yeah. And we also got to look for any patterns in how they handle their money.
Exactly. Like, do they usually have a healthy amount of reserves?
Yeah.
Or are they always cutting it close? And if they made any big changes to their overall financial strategy?
Right. We got to spot those.
Exactly. We got to figure out what they're doing.
Okay. So, for example, did they ever get a massive grant?
Yeah. Like a one-time thing from the feds for a special project.
Yeah.
And then that money wasn't there the next year.
Right. Or maybe they had to do a huge construction project one year.
Yeah, and that really hit the building fund hard.
Exactly.
And they had to be careful for the next few years to make sure they could still do everything they needed to do.
Yeah. And those are the kinds of things.
Exactly. Those are the things that'll jump out at us when we look closely at the numbers.
Yeah. So we're really looking for those peaks and valleys and the money coming in and the money going out.
Yeah. Because that tells us a lot about their priorities and how they react to different situations.
Okay, so now let's talk about one last part of these reports.
Okay.
That Certificate of Excise Board.
Right, the Certificate of Excise Board.
What is that all about?
Well, basically, it's the official approval from the County Excise Board for the school district's budget.
Okay.
And all the taxes they want to use.
Okay.
It's kind of like a check and balance to make sure everything's legal and above board.
Right. So it's making sure that the district is following the rules.
Exactly. It's an extra layer of oversight.
Gotcha. So what should we be looking for?
Well, the certificates show the millage rates for the general fund, the building fund, and the sinking fund.
Okay.
So we got to see if those rates stayed the same over the 10 years or if they went up or down.
Because any changes there would mean changes in how much property tax money.
Exactly. And that would affect each of those funds differently.
Right. So if we see the building fund levy go up, that means the community is putting more money into construction.
Exactly. It means they're willing to pay more to improve their school buildings.
And I see in 2017 and 2018, the building fund levy stayed at 5.00 mils.
Okay.
So it looks like that funding was pretty consistent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they found a level that the community was comfortable with.
Okay, well, we have covered so much today.
We have,
We really dug deep into McLeod's finances.
We did a deep dive for sure.
Thanks to those awesome audit reports.
Absolutely. Yeah, those reports are gold mines of information.
Yeah, and now you know way more about...